Going to say good morning, everyone. Last people standing, mighty kabam. There are some on Zoom, I know, but it's good to come together and to worship. And it's been good over these last few weeks to think about kingdom parables, and as we've been doing at our Bible studies, to think about small beginnings with huge results. And I love it when we have our Bible studies, because we can go into more detail than we usually do on a Sunday morning. And it's good that we can then share our thoughts with one another and to encourage one another, which is what kingdom work is all about. And so thanking those of you for your thought-provoking contributions. We're going to kind of continue on from what we were thinking about last week at our Bible study, thinking about God's kingdom, both in the present and the future, putting God's kingdom work first in our lives. And I think we all agreed that the consequences for those who don't respond to the good news is serious. And so that should prompt us into action. Jesus told many parables about what the kingdom of God is like. It is very different from the world. Very different. And Jesus wanted people to know how awesome it is, so that they would want to become part of it. And I'm sure that we would all agree, when we look around the world at the moment with everything that's going on, we do all seek something far better than what we currently have. And Jesus told his disciples the parables, and therefore us, that they had been given the chance to understand the secrets, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. So as Mark says, may God give us ears to hear and understand too. And so as we come to worship, what mysteries there are in God's world. We, so sophisticated, stand in awe at the wonders of the natural world. We look at the tiniest of seeds and wonder what will happen. From that small seed will grow a large shrub. Although we consider our gifts to be small and insignificant, God will use our gifts in miraculous ways. Praise the God of small seeds and mighty power. Amen. So we'll continue in praise as we sing number 560, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to worship you today with hearts full of gratitude and praise. We thank you for your goodness and faithfulness in our lives. You have been so good to us, and we are grateful for all that you have done in our hearts. We ask that you would bring to our memory all the wonderful things that you have done, so that we may be filled with gladness and rejoice in your goodness. Lord, we lift our voices in praise to you. You are good, and you are the Most High God. We acknowledge your sovereignty and your power and your reign over us. Thank you for saving us, for guiding us, and for filling us with joy as we spend time thanking you for all that you have done and all that you are doing in our lives today. Holy God, we ask for your help, your power, your spirit, so that we can amend our lives and grow more each day into the image of Christ. We confess that we fear what is different. Gracious and loving God, open our hearts so that we are able to admit you in the fullness of our lives, that which is beautiful and good, and admit that which is hateful and hurtful. We confess that we do not always follow Jesus in all that we do. We love with conditions. We judge and condemn. Forgive us, we pray. Forgive our sin and empower us to be imitators of Christ in love and service. In a world filled with violence and conflict, we pray for peace. We pray for those, Lord, who are seeking peace, and we pray for all the conversations that will be had over these coming weeks, for peace between Israel and Gaza, between Russia and Ukraine. Peace in those places, Lord, that the news doesn't even mention. But we know, Lord, there is conflict and harm and fear for their people. Lord, send us the gift of peace. We pray for the gift of peace, that hatred may turn to understanding, anger to compassion, and horror to hope. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the true King of peace. In you alone is found freedom. Please free our world from conflict. Bring unity to all those troubled nations. Lord, we pray that you continue to work in our hearts and lives, shaping us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to always have a heart of gratitude and to never forget the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. May our lives be a testimony of your goodness, and may we continually sing praises to your name. Amen. Let's say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And as we've been saying the Lord's Prayer together, you notice that twice we hear the word kingdom, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That is our prayer, that we would see God's kingdom come. And for thine is the kingdom. We have to remember that it all belongs to God, everything. And as we sing our next hymn, that God's kingdom stretches, as it says, from shore to shore. Do we believe that? Do we live like that? May our response be, Amen. Let it be as you have said. So let's join together and sing number 379. Jesus shall reign across the earth. So our reading this morning is going to be really familiar to those that were at Bible study. But the whole of Matthew 13, which is why I started our Bible study on it, is full of parables. And it's a great place to begin, because Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. As we get into Matthew 13, we realize that it's following Jesus as he goes from an overcrowded house at the end of the previous chapter to a crowded beach on the Sea of Galilee. And if anybody like myself has been to the Sea of Galilee, you can kind of get images of what that would be like and what it looks like. And he teaches a large crowd, but he doesn't always fully explain. So the two that we have this morning, as we talked about at Bible study, don't come with explanations. So it gives us an opportunity to really think. So if you thought you're going to come here and have a nice cozy Sunday morning, wrong. But he does take his disciples to a nearby house to explain, because those are the people he will then commission to continue to spread the good news, and then in turn us. We've heard the phrase that parables are usually short stories designed to emphasize a greater truth. And by relating them to common experiences, parables make those deeper concepts more accessible. So I'll ask Marcus if he'll come and bring our reading to us.
The reading is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. You can find this on page 979 of the Church Bible. The parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Thanks be to God.
Two wonderful images that I know we've unpacked in detail. But the kingdom of heaven is compared to a grain of mustard seed that grows to a large plant. Represents how the kingdom will be great and glorious, just as the Old Testament, as we heard with those final two verses, but not immediately. Rather, it will grow into that state. And I think that's something we often forget, isn't it? We want it now. And to be honest, when we look around the world, we really want it now. But it will grow, and it'll grow. And that's the promise that we see. And also, like leaven in flour, as my version says. What appears to be something tiny, small amounts of yeast hidden among something large in the flour. Likewise, the kingdom's apparently small, obscure beginnings will come to affect the entire earth. And so as we start to think about what that would look like, may we set our hearts on God's kingdom first. Let's sing number 590, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.
Thank you.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are praying for ears to hear the teachings of Jesus afresh, to let them get past our defences and really get under our skin as they transform us to make things right in this world, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So we've been thinking about small beginnings and huge results. And after our Bible study, I just couldn't leave it alone. I kept thinking about things, stuff that people had said and shared. But I really want us to consider this morning our part in the kingdom. Often when we read things, we think it's up to somebody else. It's up to the minister, because that's what they get paid for. But actually, the commission's to everybody. We all become disciples, and we're encouraged then to make disciples. But God does all the work through his Holy Spirit through us. The metaphors that Jesus used were everyday things that people could recognize. And so can we, to a degree. We've been chatting about whether we need to change things, to update things. As I said, in the NIV, you read yeast. In my version, it says leaven. And if I'd have read leaven, I was like, well, what's that? So I always say to myself, don't assume that with our 21st century eyes that we always understand everything, but that we ensure that we really do understand what Jesus was referring to. Some, as I said, have suggested that these next two parables, the ones that we've just heard, were there to encourage his disciples. Because the first two, as we realised, the sower and then the wheat and the weeds, were quite a challenge, especially with the consequences for those who didn't respond. And again, that we don't just read them, we don't just hear them, that we actually apply them to our faith journey. So when we read mustard seed, and I know that all of a sudden all the mustard seeds are pinging into our brains, ping, ping, ping. We don't just stop at an activity that we might have learnt in Sunday school or done with Girls Brigade, and we see little pots of mustard growing on our windowsills or something that you fill your egg sandwich with. That we remember that, yes, it is a hot little seed. Jesus used it probably because it was the smallest. But as a plant, it can reach 10 to 15 feet in height. Yes. 10 to 15 feet. We didn't think that, did we? Wouldn't want to stick that in my sandwich. And even worse, in the autumn, its branches become rigid, and the plant then serves as shelter for birds of many kinds. So that is why Jesus refers to his kingdom as a mustard seed. So you can still think about it as you look at your next egg and cress sandwich, your egg and mustard sandwich, but remember, small things, small beginnings, huge results. Throughout the Bible, sometimes the mustard seed was used to describe anything that is small in its beginning. So the kingdom of heaven has small beginnings. But its tremendous growth will contradict its humble beginnings. Its growth, as we read, will be beneficial to the world. And as we note through the book of Acts, and if you want homework, go and read it, we can see how the good news was shared and the 120 disciples became 3,000, 5,000 until it reached all the corners of where the commission was intended to go. But we're not there yet, because otherwise Jesus would have come and we'd all be in eternity with him. And those two verses, the first two about the mustard seed, as I said, gave me plenty to think about, not just as we studied together, but since. I know that some say that birds in parables are evil. If you think about the birds, as we heard in the parable of the sower, that came and plucked up the seed from the ground. But I don't think there's any negativity in what Jesus is saying in this next parable. He says the birds will come and they will perch in the branches. If you think about that, if you've got that picture in your head now, birds pictured in, yeah, perching on branches. If you think about the reasons I was staring out the window, any good excuse while I'm doing my sermon, looking at the birds busy in the garden, in my neighbour's garden and in surrounding areas, thinking, what do you do when you're in the branches? Sometimes they're there to rest. Sometimes, as I noted, it was to get away from predators, cats, bigger birds. But if we think about it, there are so many reasons why they perch in the branches. When the sun eventually shines, it will be for shade. Birds, and so do we actually, don't we? Birds gather to get out of sunlight and cool for a bit before continuing on their way. They do it to find shelter. I know my sparrows were not happy when I chopped down the holly bush, which they had sought refuge in for years, and I've left a big blank space, and I see them looking at me now with attitude as if to say, well, where is it? What have you done to it? They still seek shelter under the trees, the leaves of the trees. And also food. Birds find nourishment in trees. I was wondering why the pigeons were attacking the ivy and the other bits and pieces that were growing up and over my neighbour's fence. And then I looked closer and there's little berries, little white berries. Never knew that. But they like to seek them out and they like to eat. And we know that birds make their nests. I love this time of year when we look at the trees without the leaves and you can see where the nests are from previous years or where they're still nesting now. And they raise their young. And then there is rest. Birds find rest and they sleep in the trees and the branches. They maintain the nests for their young, but they sometimes go themselves to protect and they sleep on the branches. And as they say, there's that protection to keep them safe from predators. They scan the area for threats, as I know, as I watch the sparrows trying to get rid of the magpies that will try and attack them. So the kingdom of God is not only a place yet to be seen, it's a part of heaven which we can live out now. It is the life that we live, the gospel that is within us and among us. To those seeking rest for their weary souls, the King offers his tender invitation to come to him and to enter his kingdom of rest. So we're like the birds, if we think about the metaphor that Jesus is using. We ourselves and others around us come to the gospel for all the same reasons that birds perch in trees. We seek respite from the pressures in our lives like the shade. We seek shelter in times of troubles and storms. We often look for nourishment of our souls in relationships with Christ and with one another. We raise up others in Christ and receive nourishment from the kingdom on earth as we expand our church family. We rest and are restored in the presence of God, in worship, in our quiet times, and in our fellowship. The protection that we receive in the kingdom may not keep us always from harm, but protects and upholds our faith, strengthening one another in the adversities of life. We seek these comforts in the Lord, his word and family, and he always provides. We're like the birds perching in the branches. When we come to the kingdom, we too can find shade and shelter, food and family, rest and protection in its branches. As we advance the kingdom in partnership with God, we too need these things day by day, just as those who don't yet call our Lord their Saviour. And so we think about the growth of the kingdom. As it advances, this small seed becomes a large tree. If we think about how the kingdom began, a small seed, Jesus himself, born one day in humility in an ordinary stable, which sprouts, takes root, and flourishes. Jesus himself is that small seed that provided the genetics, the instructions necessary for his followers to continue the growth of this tree. And it takes time. That's why we're learning patience. That's why one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Those of us watching and waiting for fruit are forced to give it time. And as we've said lots, we're not great at waiting, are we? We're not great at patience. God's time is not our time. But we're learning. But as in the parable of the sower, it is at the end of the harvest, months or years later, that we see the results of our efforts to spread God's word. And it is a living word. The word of the Lord is living and active and breathing. How else can I find so many things to say about two verses? Perhaps in this, then, we can begin to understand what meditating on the word is and be encouraged and inspired. I find, having just spent this time thinking on from our studies, how much is revealed in simply considering the situation that Jesus has explained to those listening. Considering the circumstances and the images that the words describe. How about you? What does it say to you? It serves as a reminder that the kingdom is present. Today, the kingdom of heaven continues to grow and spread out its branches to those who accept it. We have the same seed, the word of God, a seed that is capable of producing what God intends. While the first two parables remind us that not all will accept the word of God, this parable declares that the kingdom will grow. And so, as we've just sung, we need to put the kingdom of God first. The potential of the kingdom's growth is amazing, and it rests in the person who reigns as king of our lives. And so let's take it as an encouragement, as a reminder, as we thought about a few weeks ago, that those who abide in him will bear much fruit. And perhaps when we are feeling weary, we do take refuge in the branches of the tree of the kingdom. And it's the same with the parable of the yeast. Again, not just reading it and thinking, well, I know what that means, as I shared with those at Bible study. I always had in my mind that 7-gram packet of yeast that I put a teaspoon of into my bread machine, and ta-da, out comes bread. But it wasn't until I actually researched the word leaven, which, as I say, I read in my version of the Bible, did I fully understand. And actually, it was lockdown, when everyone started making sourdough, that I've really understood what it was. Small piece of old fermented dough, which does contain yeast and all sorts of other stuff. It's a living organism that helps it to grow overnight. So by the morning, entire quantities of dough have been raised. It likes to feed on sugars. I did a bit more research since we talked on Friday. And it produces carbon dioxide. That's what all the little bubble bits are. And that process that we call fermentation. And we talked about an episode, I think it was of Countryfile or something, when they were adding yeast to beer. Because why not? Talk about beer at Bible study, can't you? But yeast is dormant. You know, I just think I was saying that if you put the yeast in, or your little bit of culture, as we called it, it'll remain dormant. If you put it too close to the salt, it doesn't do anything. But if it comes into contact with the warm water and with the sugars, it starts to grow. It starts to do what it's there for. It gets trapped in the dough, causing it to rise. And as it comes into the right conditions, it absorbs the gases and it holds on to them. So actually the yeast literally changes everything, as does the kingdom of God. As we read, it turns the world upside down. I'm up for a bit of that, are you? Yes. Come on, my people. The kingdom's growth, as we read, will be pervasive, having the quality, we read, to permeate, to spread or flow throughout the world. While it feeds on the sugar, it's much like us feeding on the word of God. We read in Psalm 119, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." When we digest the word, that process has a knock-on effect within and around us. The word works in us to produce the character of Christ within us. Changes everything, and the original person that we were is no longer the same, but is, as we read, a new creation in Christ. Much as the inability to separate the original ingredients when making bread, the old has gone and the new has come. That new character can't help but pour forth from us and affect those around us. And that's why and how the reign of God, the reign of heaven, will gradually make its influence felt in the world. We see and hear it in the gospel. We pray that our churches would grow and spread the word. But we also sometimes think, well, I can't see it. We get upset, don't we, and look around us and think, well, I can't see where the kingdom's growing. Everything is so bad, so rotten, so awful. But equally, we can't see what that fermented culture is doing in the dough. And so the kingdom of work, and we have to remember that the parable illustrates that it will be invisible sometimes to us. As leaven does its work, sometimes we don't necessarily notice immediately its effect. So sometimes we have to take it on the chin that it will be unnoticeable, but it's real, it's present, it's happening. And so we should be encouraged to let the word of God infiltrate every area of our lives. As the yeast, as we read, is worked into every part of the dough, it continues to do all its work. Again, as I read the passage and as we shared, if I'd have just read it and said, well, she took 3 measures of flour. What are 3 measures of flour in my language? But in hers, as we read, it's something like 50 pounds of flour. Now, that is a lot of loaves. That is no ordinary bake-off. She's one who prepares with generosity. Dozens of loaves will gradually come from 50 pounds of flour. And as we read, it will infiltrate every part of the dough. The kingdom's influence will be then complete. The New Living Testament says, even though she put only a small amount of yeast in those 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. No part of the loaf will be untouched by the influence of the kingdom. And so we're not to lose heart. We don't measure the growth or success solely by visible standards. As Jesus said to those who were listening, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The spread of the kingdom is taking place wherever the word of the kingdom is being sown, and fruit will be born as it falls on good and noble hearts, as we read. So we're to remain confident. That which began as a mustard seed will grow into a great tree. That what started in one small portion of the loaf will eventually spread through the whole loaf. So we need to do our part to be a leavening influence. We allow the leaven of the kingdom to permeate our own hearts and our own lives. We take the word of God into our hearts. We study and we meditate upon it, but then we seek to apply it. Allow the word to produce fruit in our lives so that we become a leavening influence for the kingdom of God. We can take heart in knowing that the work of Christ in regards to his kingdom will not be for nothing. So will we allow the grace of God to make us into that kind of leaven that can be used for his glory? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you for the mustard seed and for the wonders of yeast and for how these things teach us about your love. Lord, plant your seed into our lives. Help us to work your yeast into our hearts, that wonderful things may happen. We ask all this in Jesus' name and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So as the wonder of what Jesus did in the heart of Mary, we take her words and sing, "Tell out my soul the glories of the Lord." Got to have the evermore bit, that's the important bit. Let's pray. May the Spirit of God, like a tiny mustard seed, take root within our hearts and grow into a mighty tree of faith, reaching out to shelter and nourish others. As the leaven works through the dough, may our lives be transformed by God's love, permeating our world with grace and compassion. Go forth, empowered to be instruments of God's kingdom, spreading hope and light wherever you go. Amen.